He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday, April 30th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, it's a down open here to the market today. The Dow down 135 points right now. Boy, it just can't get through 34,000, can it? That seems to be the peak right now. We'll see if it can punch through next week, but struggling with that 34,000 level. It's down 115 points right now, 33,918. And the NASDAQ is struggling at that 14,000 level. It's down 59 points, 63 points right now. The disappointing part about the NASDAQ, Amazon was way up in the overnight trading and in the early hours trading. It's pretty much given up all of its gains here, much like Apple did yesterday. And the S&P, which is fighting with 4,200, is losing that battle right now. It's at 4,192, down 19 points. So you've got several resistance levels, technical resistance, and you've got some valuations that have to be dealt with. Russell 2000 down 11 points. It's down 0.5%. Crude oil, which has been in rally mode, backing off a little bit today, down $1.44 to $63.57. Gold going nowhere, $17.68. Silver in a massive sideways trend, 26.15. The 10-year is bouncing back up, and that has kind of cooled off the NASDAQ. I would say that's the biggest reason, along with high price to sales and high price to earnings ratios. Add in high interest rates, 1.65. And over at the Bitcoin market, up 2,000. There you go, 55,812. Welcome to the Best Stocks Now show on this Friday, April the 30th, the last trading day of April. What did they say? Go away in May? Well, you know, we'll see. The market is kind of looking like that right now. It is stumbling around at some lofty levels. It's got some technical resistance right here. The Dow at 34,000, the S&P at 4,200, and the NASDAQ at about 4,100. We got that technical resistance. We call that a ceiling. It's been in place for a while now, and we'll just have to see if it can punch through. I can tell you that the consensus target price for the S&P 500 over the next 12 months right now is 4,550. So if you're going to go out and take an opinion poll of all, a consensus of all of the big-time analysts that follow the market, they think that the S&P is going to 4,550. That is the consensus estimate. And I will say this. You know, when we started out this quarter, this earnings season, we were expected to come in about 20% higher than the same comparable quarter last year. And right now it's looking like more like 35% higher, as 84% of the companies that have reported earnings have beat their earnings estimates. So it's been a pretty good earnings season. But here's the rub on that. I have noticed that companies with high PEs, high price to sales, high book values, etc., all the bad stuff in this year's market, they get punished. You know, they come in and they beat earnings, they beat sales, and they get punished. I mean, Apple was a prime example here the other day. Amazon's a prime example today. And I've seen several, ServiceNow. I could go on and on and on about companies that have come in and beat their earnings and their revenue estimates, but have sold off pretty hard after that, I just think there's a dose of valuation reality that is going through the market right now. Well, let's see. We had new record highs. Nevertheless, we had new record highs yesterday, helped by earnings. But we're struggling. We're struggling here today so far. Now, the story of the day is obviously Amazon, okay? If you're looking at the one company that probably benefited the most from the pandemic, I would have to say Amazon. Well, look, Amazon's breaking out now, so it is starting to gain some of its mojo back here. You know, there were others, obviously Zoom. Zoom was probably number two. DocuSign was up there. Peloton was up there. Zscaler, CrowdStrike. And even the stores that remained open during the pandemic, Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, Walmart, et cetera. Those companies probably benefit. But I would say above everybody else, I would say Amazon was on the with people afraid to go into, you know, dress shops or food specialty stores or camping, whatever the case may be. It was a lot easier to order online and have it delivered to your door. Now a lot of us have gotten used to that. It's pretty nice, actually, you know. There's a lot of times where there's, like, one thing I need at the grocery store, and it's an odd thing. You know, it's like some kind of weird sauce, num duck sauce for some recipe, you know, that I need. And, you know, it's just a heck of a lot easier to order from Amazon. Fishing supplies, you know, I'm always out of this or out of that. Fluorescent line or not carbon, fluorocarbon line, etc. Just order from Amazon and it's at your front door the next day. You get used to that. Well, Amazon's breaking out today. They beat earnings by, get this, $6.51 or $6.18 per share. Now, there's very few companies in America that make $6.18 per share in a year's time. This is what Amazon beat by, okay? Their actual earnings. Let's pull up this quarter that they just reported. Their actual earnings for the quarter were $15.79 per share. Their sales were up 44% over this same quarter last year. So Amazon just knocked it out of the park. The stock right now is up $63 per share. But remember, this is a $3,500 stock. So that translates to 1.8%. And is that a new all-time high today? I think it is, okay, just by a skosh. Amazon is $3,534 per share. You know, they duke it out every day, Bezos and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and obviously the new kid on the block, Elon Musk, as the richest person in the world, okay. Well, today I would say Bezos might have reclaimed his spot there as the top dog. Amazon.com beats earnings by a wide margin, beats their revenue estimates by a wide margin, and the stock is breaking out to new all-time highs today. Okay, so that's the big story of the day. This is a troubling story. Israel detects Indian COVID-19 variant even among the vaccinated. You see why that's a troubling story? The Israel Ministry of Health has detected 41 new cases. That's a lot, 41 of the Indian coronavirus variant. Okay, this is the variant that's going through India right now and bringing on a deadly second wave of COVID. But here's the troubling part. Four of the individuals who have come down with this new variant have been vaccinated against COVID-19, according to the Haaretz newspaper. 24 of those infected with the variant have recently returned from abroad, and the remaining 17 cases are due to community transmission. The Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is believed to be at least partially effective against the variant. Well, okay, we'll keep our eye on that. Israel has immunized 81% of their citizens over the age of 16. That's one of the highest coronavirus vaccination rates in the world. But all of a sudden, here comes this new variant from India. And four people that have been vaccinated come down with it. All right, the home building stocks, the building sector. What is going on there? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, just in the early going, what I'm seeing, anything related to Bitcoin is having a good day. And the second best sector here this morning, without question, the commodity-related stocks. Now, this is a recurring theme. The theme in this market pretty much is holding every single day. I'm just looking at my notes from yesterday and the stocks that I made note of. The number one sector in the market yesterday was once again that building sector. And we're going to talk about that in a moment here, okay? Number two sector in the market yesterday is that financial sector. Every time interest rates start trickling back up, that financial sector breaks out again to new highs. The number three sector in the market yesterday, now this is a kind of a new shooter here, the oil and gas sector. Now, we'll see whether or not that has any staying power, but it sure had a good day yesterday. And then number four, commodities. And the stocks that continue to sell off, telemedicine, high PE, the electric vehicle stocks, the solar stocks continue to struggle. The gold stocks had a very poor day yesterday. A lot of these gambling stocks that were so hot, and basically high price to sales, high forward PE, high price to cash flow, high peg ratios and everything, they continue to sell off. The stock of the day yesterday was Facebook and Toll Brothers and probably a few other of the home builders. Now, here's the deal on the home builders. Mortgage rates continue to remain below 3%. Well, I got to believe it's going to give that up next week when we get, when things, maybe even today, they're above 3%. But that 30-year fixed mortgage averaged 2.98% for the week ending yesterday, which was just up 1 point. But if you go a year ago, 1 year ago, we were at 3.23. So the good news is that with rates under 3%, refinancing continues to be attractive for many borrowers who financed before 2020. But for eager buyers, especially first-time home buyers, inventory continues to be extremely tight. And competition for available homes to purchase remains high, okay? And that's why you're seeing breakouts in a lot of the home stocks, home building stocks. Yesterday, Century Communities, which is in the hot markets of Texas, Georgia, Nevada, CCS, their earnings are going through the roof right now, through the roof. All right, it's not a shake shingle roof anymore. I don't know what it is, some kind of composite material. The roofing stocks are doing well, by the way, also. Another one, GRBK, which is Green Brick Partners. They're in the hot markets of Dallas and Atlanta. That stock had a very good day yesterday. Toll Brothers. Of course, Toll Brothers is nationwide. They hit a new high yesterday, T-O-L. D.R. Horton, D-H-I, also had a very good day yesterday. And, of course, there is an ETF, several ETFs. XHB is the one I follow, XHB, which is the home building sector. So, once again, interest rates under 3% on the 30-year, and inventory very, very tight. Pending home sales grew less than expected. Well, the big problem there's not a lot of inventory, whether it's a new home or whether it's a used home. I'm hearing stories from Idaho. I'm hearing stories from Texas. I'm hearing stories from Utah. I'm hearing stories from South Carolina, California, Arizona, where people trying to buy homes are in a bidding war with several people making offers on those homes. Copper tops $10,000 for the first time in a decade. Okay, why are we collecting gold coins? We should be collecting pennies, it seems like. Copper. Well, copper has a lot more uses than gold does. It's an industrial metal. And I've been saying the metals to own here are the industrial metals, because it would seem there's also a common theme here running through the market right now. Things are opening back up rather quickly. I mean, we're basically open 100% here in South Carolina. I was watching the Padres play Arizona last night. It would appear that their stadium, there's no limitations there on the crowd size, Texas. But the point I'm trying to make is during the pandemic, a lot of production and manufacturing and logging and mining was shut down for a long time. People could not come to work. You can't mine iron ore from your home office. Okay, so anyways, I would say that the supply absolutely was dragging along, and then all of a sudden you have the economy opening up very quickly, so your supply is behind the curve and your demand is ramping up. So that's part of the problem. That's probably the biggest part of the problem. But there also are inflationary pressures coming from different monetary policy is definitely inflationary pressure, keeping the interest rates where they are right now. And I would say that some of the fiscal policy that we're seeing is also inflationary in nature. And I would just say that the steep yield curve that we saw over the last several months, maybe over the last 5-6 months, we're definitely predicting this inflation. Now, the question is, will it be just temporary, transitory, and go away once the supply catches up, or are we in a new inflationary cycle? Well, the Fed says we're not, and about 27 CEOs of companies all across America say we are. So we shall see. That's all I know is the typical sectors that would do well during an inflationary cycle are some of the best performing sectors right now. Uber and Lyft dropped after the U.S. labor head supports classifying gig workers as employees. Well, it would seem as California goes and as California has gone, it would seem that now the federal government is kind of following in California's footsteps. California was one of the first states to say, hey, Uber, Lyft, these people are not contract laborers, they're employees, which opens a whole can of worms for Uber and Lyft and the others. Well, now you've got the U.S. Labor Department, the head of it, Marty Walsh, saying that these people are employees. That's a major problem. I don't like Uber and Lyft stocks. Number one, it's questionable whether they'll ever be profitable. And now they've got this issue to face. So, anyways, when we come back, we've got a lot of individual stocks. This has been a busy week of earnings and a lot of stocks to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. To the second half of Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market not improving here, staying about the same. Dow down 155, 33,905. You can call 34,000 resistance. Well, the NASDAQ has improved considerably. It's only down 4 points right now. So it has improved. And Amazon is helping the NASDAQ here today. Well, we heard this week from Jerome Powell. He swears up and down that inflation is not an issue at the current time. But in the meantime, we heard from CEOs of Stanley Black & Decker, Procter & Gamble, Honeywell, Kimberly-Clark, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Boston Beer, Celanese, Crown Holdings, Steel Dynamics, Mattel, Whirlpool, Snap-on, Dover, Sonoco, Colgate, Palmolive, that there is inflation. Well, we're hearing from several more here today. Caterpillar is warning on the chip shortage, number one, and on rising raw material costs. In addition to this, General Mills and Hormel have joined the chorus of CEOs saying that inflation is a problem. Well, you know, I mean, here's what's going to happen. All of these companies are going to have to raise their prices because of the cost of input. They're going to, more than likely, pass it on to the consumer, and that's just going to make the inflation picture. See, the inflation that they're experiencing will eventually be experienced by the consumer. The experience their inflation has to do with the PPI, the producer price index. They produce the Coca-Cola, they produce the Kimberly-Clark types of things, and the Procter & Gamble types of things, and Pepsi, etc. They're absorbing that right now, and it's showing up in the PPI, but it's just a matter of time before the consumer starts to absorb it, and it shows up in the CPI. All right, let's take a look here. NEO beats by 95 cents. Now, the reason I bring this stock up, you're going to have a sell discipline in the market. NEO was one of the hottest stocks in the market last year. It's a Chinese, it's a major. I mean, is it the Tesla of China? Well, maybe not that big, but it's a pretty important electric vehicle maker. But last year, you see, valuations didn't really matter. And then as interest rates started to rise here in 2021, especially about the beginning, middle of February, all of a sudden valuations became a big issue. And you look at some of those types of cars or types of stocks and their price-to-sales ratios, et cetera. Pretty astronomical. So we sold NEO, I'm looking here, on February the 25th. We sold it for $48 per share and 159% profit. It is currently not at $48 a share. Well, it's at $41, okay, but it got down to $32 after we sold it, So we do have a sell discipline. I don't see any, I'm not hankering to get back into NEO at any time soon. But we sold several, all of our electric vehicle stocks that we owned back then during that time period. Now, if we look at NEO today, there's a couple lessons to be learned here. We look at NEO today, let's just look at their ratios. Price to sales, 25. I'm saying 1 to 3, okay? Forward P.E., they don't have one because they're not a profitable company. price to cash flow, 212. So you know what? These stocks are just not a good place to be in this environment. Now, the second point I'd like to make on this, I have people complain that I incurred a capital gain for them. Okay, well, you know what? Here's the alternative. You can make 158% on a stock and have to pay the capital gains, which is 20%, but likely going way up at some point in the future. Or you can ride the stock back down, and then you won't have a capital gain, you know, if that's what you want to do. Give up all your gains in the stock, and then you don't have to worry about paying a capital gain. Me, you know what? If you're paying capital gains, that means you're picking winners in the market. That means you're making profits in the market. So for me, tax considerations are secondary because I have to worry about losing those gains. Okay, so there's a couple lessons in that story there with Neo. Let's take Dexcom. Okay, here's another perfect example. Dexcom was one of the biggest winners we ever found in the market, and we sold it quite some time ago. I don't know what the I can look it up, but we made just a huge profit. We bought Dexcom several times. You know, they came up with really a artificial pancreas that you wear. That did all everything automatically. You didn't have to do all the pricking of the finger and shooting yourself with the insulin, etc. Dexcom was a massive winner for us. We sold it quite some time ago. Now, I'm just going to look at Dexcom's earnings or Dexcom's valuation ratios right now because the stock has sold off quite a bit from where we sold it. Where is it today? Should we be reconsidering this thing? Well, price to sales ratio, 21. Okay, the Best Stocks Now app, if I was looking up a stock on the Best Stocks Now app, the first ratio I would look at is price to sales. The second ratio I'd look up is price to cash flow, which is similar to PE ratio. It should be in the low, high teens at the most. Dexcom is 86 times cash flow. Forward PE in this market should be under 20. It is 126. Ouch. The growth rate, 18%. When you divide the forward PE into the growth rate, you get a PEG ratio of 7. I'm trying to keep it around 1. And how is Dexcom doing today after their earnings announcement? Terrible. It's down $28 per share or 6.7%. So, you know, the point is the market goes through cycles. It goes through growth cycles. It goes through momentum cycles. It goes through fear cycles. It goes through rising interest rate cycles. It goes through cycles where valuation becomes a secondary concern. It goes through cycles where valuation is a primary concern. And if you're on the wrong side of those cycles, you know, and you're wondering why. Well, God, they came in, they beat earnings, they beat their sales estimates. Why is it down 6.7%? Well, you know what? That's all you got to do is look at those evaluations right now and those ratios, and it fits the theme. It doesn't fit the theme of favorable stocks. It fits the theme exactly of unfavorable stocks. That's why I keep saying, you know, if you want to have one of our advisors here take a look at the risk you currently have in your stocks that you currently own, and if nobody's doing anything about it, you're sitting there holding a heck of a lot of risk in a very high valuation market. The high value stocks have the most risk. That's just the way it is. Okay, now here's another example. MicroVision, which has been a favorite of Kathy Wood, this stock is getting pummeled over the last couple of days. It is in the LiDAR business. Okay, LiDAR is part of the autonomous technology allowing a car to drive itself. LiDAR is a very crowded field. Let's not forget that Intel is one of the top stocks in the LiDAR and autonomous field. They bought the leading stock in the industry several years ago. But there's a multitude of players in the LiDAR autonomous software technology industry, and I could never see this Micro Vision, which seems to be a small player. But look at this stock has just been absolutely creamed over the last 2 days. How vulnerable was it? Price to sales ratio 920, price to cash flow. Well, they don't even have cash flow; they have a negative cash flow. So I'm just telling you, you better watch your P's and Q's and pegs and whatever else right now, or you could really get clobbered in some of these stocks that are so vulnerable. And many of them obviously have already been clobbered. Well, let's find one at the other end of the scale when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 213, not good on this Friday. Let's see, does the NASDAQ holding on to its small gain? It's mostly Amazon. We've got S&P down 25 right now. Ouch, 0.6%. And the NASDAQ, gave it up the ghost here. NASDAQ now down 48. Well, tomorrow's the Kentucky Derby. I thought it was next Saturday, but tomorrow is the first Saturday in May. So doggone it, it is tomorrow. And I was just looking at the field here. You know, you got to root. There's a horse here that was bought, Brooklyn Strong. He was bought at the sales for $5,000, okay, in the horse racing world. Claiming a horse for $5,000, like the bottom of the barrel. So this horse is... won some big races, and he'll be running in the Derby tomorrow. So I'll pick a long shot there in the Derby tomorrow. I see my friend Doug O'Neill, who's a great guy. Doug O'Neill has a horse in the Derby tomorrow. That would be my second choice. I think, what's his name? I'll have to look up his name. But Doug O'Neill, trainer, great trainer from California. Now, see John Sadler. I don't know that he's ever had a horse in the Derby, but he is a very good trainer. He's got one there, too. Okay, well, so now we need a feature stock of the day. I'm going to go with a long shot here. This stock really sold off hard yesterday after their earnings report. I thought, you know what? It doesn't deserve that. That's way overdone. But who knows? It is rebounding today. It's up 4% today. It was down about 15% yesterday. I think this commodity trade has a ways to go. I don't think it's one and done. I think there's going to be a continued gradual rise in steel, aluminum, cement, iron ore, copper, lumber, etc. We'll see. I just see the pressure there. I don't see any relief anytime soon. Well, I featured a stock not too long ago. Maybe it was this week. Resolute Forest Products. It's like that $5,000 horse, you know, at the sales. This thing's just $1.1 billion in market capitalization. So, I mean, it's down there in the microcap universe. But it's in the lumber business. It's a Canadian company that makes coated specialty papers, newsprint, lumber products, and bleached market pulp. All of the prices on these goods continue to rise, and they reported their earnings yesterday, and they missed, even though their earnings were up 539% from the same quarter last year. and their sales were up 27% from the same quarter last year. Now let's look at these all-important valuation numbers on RFP, which is in the 19th post position in tomorrow's Kentucky Derby, actually the Commodity Derby. This one currently has a price-to-sales ratio of 37 cents on the dollar, 0.37. Its price-to-cash flow is 3. We just read one that was 222. What was that? The electric vehicle. Its forward PE is 7.5, and its growth rate is 15, so the PEG ratio comes in at 0.50. It is currently ranked. Now, it got beat up yesterday. That dropped its ranking down to 736. But, you know, I think 2021, it's all about the sector. There's about five sectors that are working in the market. The rest, I track 66 sectors, okay? There's five. It's a very narrow market this year. You can basically eliminate all the others. And, in fact, in my newsletter, which is now 99% done, it will be going out here this afternoon. I rank the sectors in my app every single day, those 66 sectors. That's very, very critical. Being in the right sectors is very important. You're much more the probabilities of finding a good stock in a good sector, you're just not very rarely going to find a good stock in a bad sector of the market. So, I mean, that's just one tip I would pass along as a guy who's been doing it for 24 years. Sectors are very important. Then, of course, when you look within that sector, you want to find the very best stocks within the sector. And the best stocks this year are not the ones with the most momentum and the most growth. Instead, people, momentum's still important, but it has to be accompanied by low price-to-sales ratios and low PEG ratios and low price-to-cash-flow ratios. That's just my observations, and that theme's been in place for quite some time, and I don't see an end to that theme anytime soon. So we'll make RFP our featured stock of the day, and Brooklyn Strong our long shot of the day from post number 20. Ouch. That's not easy to overcome. So Kentucky Derby, I enjoy watching the Derby every year. I've been to it one time with my late father. We had a good time there in Louisville. We really did. Okay, well, you know what? Next week, we'll have a lot of new offices to announce. A lot of new advisors that will be trained in the Gunderson methodology. And I will continue to do what I do, which is research the market, research individual companies, and make the buy and sell decisions in about six different portfolios. Why? All this team behind me, which is getting much, much bigger next week, leaves me alone to do what I do best, and I leave them alone to do what they do best, and it all works out real nice, very nicely. So anyways, if you, and, you know, we will be able to offer more custodians. Right now we're strictly with Ameritrade, but we'll have more custodians on board now to give you a choice of. Anyways, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter. Find out what sectors and what stocks are working in the market this year. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.